teams are here from Tanzania, Africa, and they just flew in last night. Just kidding. They got to spend yesterday enjoying. They both are Michigan Tech graduates, and so we have that in common. My son's up at Michigan Tech. And then they also have some mutual friends with us from Milligan, where we went to school. So I was excited to meet them. They're doing a great thing with a water project that they're doing in Tanzania, Africa. And we wanted them to be able to come and share about the mission that they are doing, that God has laid on their heart to do. And also that you can see what your dollars that you give when we take up an offering, part of that is going to our missionary efforts around the world. And these are one of those missionaries that it's going to contribute to. So I'm going to have you watch a quick video. And then again, I'm going to welcome them to the stage. So watch the screen, if you would.
The change.
All right. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. So Todd and Ann Zeems are answering that call, and so let's welcome them to the stage as they present to us Sun International.
Habari za subihi. That's good morning. So, and Buona Safiwe.
Amen.
Okay, Buona Safiwe is praise the Lord. It's a typical greeting at an African church, and your response is amen. So, Buona Safiwe.
Amen.
Okay, if you don't do it with energy, you got to do it again. So, Buona Safiwe.
Amen.
Amen. I just have one quote, a quick comment as well. The last song reminded me of when we first went to Tanzania. We were riding, Ann and I were driving in the car talking, and we had a truckload of Tanzanians behind us. And this, we kept using a word, and then finally they had to ask, "What is this word you keep using?" And it was in your last song, Wana. What is this word, Wana? They knew the English want to, but they did not know the wanna. So,
cool. Right. It's really great to be here this morning, and I have all these devices. I'm not really sure what to do, so bear with me. For those of you that don't know, well, that wasn't right. I wanted to show you a map of Tanzania. So you know, there we are. Okay, so for those of you that aren't familiar with Africa, which is a lot of Americans, Tanzania is on the east side of Africa. And that's where we are. We've been there since 2003. But for those, some of you know a little bit about us. But for those of you that don't, I'd like to give you a little bit of history.
You made comment earlier that we...
There we go. All right. So in 2001, Todd and I went on our first short-term mission trip to Tanzania. We went with a group from our church in Brighton, Michigan. And now we'll go back to that. Maybe. Sorry. So we went on our short-term mission trip to Tanzania with our church from Brighton, Michigan. And while we were there, we did typical things that you do on a short-term trip. We painted classrooms. We did prayer walking. Thank you. Here, you do this. We did typical things that you do on mission trips. It was a time for us. We wanted our children, our two girls, to know that not everyone lived like we did in Brighton, Michigan. We had been doing short-term trips for a while, but this time God really got a hold of our hearts, and he started working on both Todd and I that maybe it was time to leave our jobs in corporate America and become full-time missionaries. And when I was young, when the missionaries would come to my church, I would say, why would anybody want to go be a missionary? What is wrong with these people? You know, they talked about how their life was, and I just couldn't understand why anyone would do that. So God has a sense of humor, because that's where we ended up. And so after that first term, or that first short-term trip, we went back again, and we really, during that time, we were seeking God's will. Is this what he wants us to do? Is this where he wants us to be? And the answer to that question was yes. So we went back home and we started raising funds. We had lots of advice and lots of people helping us and praying with us. And so then in 2003, we were ready to go. We were all set. We had our airplane tickets purchased. And 15 days before we were going to leave, Todd had an accident and lost his arm. So that was really that was really a scary time for us, and lots of our family, who really didn't want us to go to Tanzania, said, this is God telling you shouldn't go. But Todd had a different idea. Before he was even out of the hospital, the first night he was there after the surgery, he told our daughters, don't worry, I'll heal and we'll continue to go to Africa. And I just looked at him and thought, are you crazy? We haven't talked about this yet. But God really had Tanzania on our hearts. We really know that the clean water is a good way to reach people. And so in February of 2004, we took our last ski trip somewhere around here. I don't remember exactly where it was. And that's what it looked like. And then when we arrived in Tanzania, it was quite a lot different, very green and lush and humid. And today, this is our family. We have one addition. My youngest daughter, Madison, was married about a year and a half ago. So that's who we are personally. And if you go to the next slide, thank you. Our whole ministry has been focused on water. And our verse from the very beginning has been Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Well, you know, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit calling us. And the Bride, of course, is the church saying, come. And each one of us here should say, come. So whoever is thirsty, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life of Jesus Christ. So this is who we are. This is why we do what we do. And this has been really instilled in everyone that's part of our organization and part of who we're trying to reach in Tanzania. So what do we do? Well, this is what we do, practically speaking. We have our Biosand water filter ministry. And this is what it looks like. They stand about a meter tall. You can see a picture there with a woman and her children. They're made out of concrete. The water is poured down through the top, and it goes through a layer of sand and then small gravel and large gravel. And then there's a tube that it comes back up out the side of clean water. Now, the water's, if it's working properly, we know that it's going to take out 100% of the worms and protozoa, which is things that make you sick. You know, if you drink bad water, it's going to have some of those things in it, or bacteria. It takes 98.5, sometimes even more than that, of the bacteria out. It just depends on what kind of water is going in. And then almost all of the turbidity, so it becomes clear. So if it's muddy, it becomes clear. And it takes out a lot of the viruses. It's really hard to tell exactly how many viruses it takes out or which ones, because testing for viruses is really difficult. But this technology is really great for Tanzania and for other countries in Africa, because there's no moving parts. So it's very simple for people to use and very difficult for someone to do it wrong. We also, in this ministry, we partner with the local churches. There's a lot of churches in Tanzania. Most of them are very small. And a lot of the pastors and evangelists don't have a lot of Bible training or education. So we partner with them and the church leaders, and we offer evangelistic tools and discipleship tools that we have, some of them which we've developed and others that we have not. Training and awareness sessions is what we call our basic seminar, which is where people come and they learn about why it's important to drink clean water. We also incorporate the gospel into that message. So we talk about your health, and then we talk about your spiritual health. Okay. So practically speaking, we have biosand filter construction workshops where we make the filters. There's some pictures of us, our team making the filters. We also install them in people's homes. They're heavy, so we have to have vehicles to transport them. We transfer the sand and gravel separately and actually put them together in someone's home. Go ahead. And we also do training of trainers. So we train our own people to teach the seminars that we teach, as well as other people come and participate, so they learn a different way of teaching people. Instead of just standing up and doing a lecture, they learn how to do participative things. I don't know where my voice is this morning. You'll just have to excuse me. Next slide. And so this is a picture of our workshop in Morogoro. In 2015, we purchased property in Morogoro town, which is in towards the center of Tanzania. And in an effort to make what we do there, what Sun does there, more sustainable, in October of 2016, more than a year later, after going to all the government offices and trying to get the right permits and the right people to sign our papers, we were able to move into this facility and started making our first filters there in January of 2017. So these are some pictures of that. And so what does that mean practically? Well, this is Dorica. Dorica is a secondary student in the village of Manungu, which is in Dodoma region. And she had a dream, or has a dream, of becoming a lawyer. However, she was sick a lot. She wasn't able to go to the school because she was sick all the time. And her parents were very concerned, and she felt like she would never be able to fulfill her dream. So then her parents found out about a biosand filter seminar that was being held at one of the local churches. So they came, and they were very excited, and they received a filter into their home. And now Dorica is continuing to go to school. She attends every day, and she's well on her way to becoming a lawyer. So we're really excited for Dorica. So this is one story. Another story is Angelina. Now, Angelina, isn't she cute? I have this picture up here because she's so cute. Angelina is a five-year-old, and her parents recently received their filter. I think it was in the beginning of August. Her father is a what they call a catechist in the Anglican Church in Tanzania. So he has a little village church where he serves. And Angelica has two other children. Her father, whose name is Dennis, is also a farmer along with his wife. So they supplement their income by farming. Before they received their filter, they were not treating their water. And so their water, they were getting it from rainwater or from a shallow well that they had close to their home. And now we're really, really excited for them because Angelica and her sisters will be able to go to school without being sick. The next family that we have here, this is Miriam, and her husband's name is Zechariah, and he was not home when this picture was taken because he was out in the fields. They grow corn for their living. And these are their two children, Cosmos and Maria. And they also did not treat their water before receiving them a filter. And so we are really blessed to be able to give them a filter. Next, our team of people that put these things, put the filters together, it's not just Todd and I. It started out that way, but now we have this organization that God somehow created, and we're just a part of it. So one of the things that we've done since the very beginning is done Bible study and discipleship with our small team of people. And it used to be just three, and then it's grown since then. But for us, it's been a really big blessing, because once we used to lead the Bible study every Monday morning, but now we take turns, and some of our leaders in the organization in Sun Tanzania have become really good at leading small groups and doing Bible study. Some of our discussions are pretty in-depth. Sometimes we have to go, oh, I don't know about that. We're going to have to do some more research on it. But it's really great for Todd and I to see the growth that's happened in that area. This is our team in Tanzania. You can see we've grown quite a lot from just two people. And now we have 20 that are on our staff, and we have several volunteers. This was taken last March on World Water Day, which is the day that we try to get everyone together. And we do some training and fellowship and, you know, explore some areas that we haven't done before. So let me introduce you to some of our people. This is Charles. We call him Charles in Charge. Some of you might remember that show from a while ago. He doesn't know anything about it, so he doesn't get the joke when we say that. But Charles is really our right-hand guy. He's been officially on staff with Sun Tanzania since June of last year. However, we've known him for a very long time, since he was a little boy. We've come to really love him, and he takes care of our office administration. He's taken over a lot of the responsibilities that I did, and he's doing a wonderful job. He graduated a couple years ago from a university in Tanzania, which isn't quite the same thing as a university here, but he has a degree in IT. So we're really blessed to have him on staff. He does a lot of the scheduling for the water filters. He runs the work. Like I said before, he does a lot of the admin, which there's a lot of admin. There's lots of government rules in Tanzania, just like there is here. And then the next person I'd like to introduce you to is Kareem. Kareem's been with us for 4 years now, I think. Go ahead. Oh, you want to talk about Kareem?
Yeah.
That's your...
Kareem is the gentleman who runs the workshop, and he... plans everything. He constructs the filters with his crew, makes sure everything's in line. He's my right-hand man, my left-hand man. And I knew when we interviewed him for right away that he's the guy that I needed for the job. He had a degree in disaster management, and I thought that qualified him to work under me as well. So.
As you can see in the picture, one of the one in your right-hand side, Kareem is smiling and laughing. And if you notice what he's doing the dishes. So this is something that at our workshop, because there's no fast food restaurants in Tanzania. So every day we have lunch delivered from one of the little local hotelis, they call them hotelis. So we have rice and beans and sometimes a little bit of meat every day delivered. But that means we have to clean up after ourselves. So I insist that everyone takes turns doing the dishes, not just the few women that we have on staff. And so this was Kareem's day, and he wasn't very happy about it, because no one ever really is happy about doing the dishes. So I was teasing them, and then he started laughing, so I took his picture showing that he is a good servant leader. And then I'd like to introduce you to Yusto. Yusto's one of our best biosand filter technicians. He's been on with us for a very long time, almost since the very beginning. His family has grown significantly since we've known him. As you can see there, when we met him, he was not married. And he was working with one of the local churches. And he was a wonderful young man. Yusto really adds a lot to our organization. He knows the Bible probably better than anyone I've ever met. His Bible is totally lined. Almost every page has lines and notes in it. So when we're doing our Bible study, he's usually very quiet. But when he has something to say, you better listen, because it's really important. So we're really, really blessed to have Yusto on our staff. This is Rock. Rock is a young man that's been around for a little while. He has some education in veterinary medicine. So he can be very useful when we're talking to some of the Maasai, because they have a lot of cows, and so he's happy to help them out. He also loves to do follow-ups on the filters and go talk to people. He's one of our good trainers as well. You can see him there on the new Sun Picky Picky, which was purchased just recently. We use this. Picky Picky is a motorcycle. We use these. They're very helpful when we go visit families that have the filters to make sure their filters are working and to follow up and sometimes to pray with them. So he's really excited about this, because before that we were using other people's Boda Bodas or Picky Pickies as taxis, and it took a lot longer. And so now they're, especially Rock, is really, really excited that we have this. And then I'd like to introduce you to Dennis Mignani, who's our, he's responsible for training and education. He's one of our good trainers. Dennis, by trade, is an Anglican pastor. He did spend a few years here in the States going to school. His family is growing and leaving home, so you see him pictured there with his wife, Naomi. This is Nuhu. Nuhu is one of our biosand filter technicians that's been with us since we moved to Morogoro, so that's about 5 or 6 years now. And he recently, well, not recently, a couple years ago, was married, and he was always kind of crazy acting and not very responsible, bringing a lot of joy, of course, and loves to sing and dance. But then he got married, and now he has a little daughter. Her name is Rebecca. And since Rebecca was born, Nuhu has been just amazingly different. I just can't understand the transformation. He's much more responsible. He's very engaged in all of his activities. And we really love having him around because he always has a smile on his face. This is Leighton. Leighton is relatively new to our staff, but he has taken on the responsibility of showing the Jesus film. He's just embraced that. We do show it most weekends, on a Saturday, sometimes a Friday, and a Sunday night. And so he has taken on that responsibility, and he's connected with the local leaders in the churches. And he really is a great guy, because that's done. Sometimes he doesn't get home until midnight. And so that's a really huge responsibility, and we're really grateful that he's taken that on. So this is Sylvester. Sylvester is a single gentleman. He loves to drive, and he loves to talk to people. And so that's what he does best. So he does a lot of filter installations and follow-ups, and he likes driving our trucks. This is Joyce. Joyce is one of our best trainers. Joyce has had a very difficult life. She's pictured there with her family. Her husband can be very abusive and is not a believer. We pray for him a lot. We encourage her a lot. We're just really, really excited that Joyce is on our staff. You can see her there. She can be very funny. She likes to do skits. And she's, like I said, she's one of our best trainers. She is actually studying right now for her equivalent. Here it would be like a GED. She's been studying for 2 years. This is her second year. She has her final exams the first week in November. So we're really excited for her, and we're praying that she will do well. This is Rahab. Rahab is also one of our trainers, and she loves working with children. Her background is with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Some of you might be familiar with that organization. So she's pictured there with her family, which is also growing. The oldest daughter, or the oldest girl there, is not actually her daughter. She is a girl that comes and helps. She lives with them. She came from one of the remote villages where her parents had too many children and couldn't take care of them all. So they sent her to the city, which isn't really a city, to live with Rahab and her family, and she helps take care of the children. So that just kind of gives you an idea of who Rahab is and her family. Her heart is really to work with children. And so she is responsible, as of this year, she's responsible for our children's WASH program. WASH stands for Water, Sanitation, and Hygiene. And it's right now out of the Morogoro workshop, we're working in three primary schools. So we go there 7 times in each school once a week, and we have 50 students every time. And the same 50 students, and we teach them about water, sanitation, and hygiene. The next picture shows you some of the posters that we use. You can see explaining why it's really, really important to wash your hands and how germs can be spread. We do practical things. We play a lot of games. So this kind of shows one of the things. We forgot our glitter this morning, or you would all have glitter all over your hands, because that's one way that we teach people how germs are spread. And it's pretty impressive at how fast glitter can spread from one person to another. One of the new things that Rahab has started to do is to start a kids club. We call it Kids Club. And around our Morogoro workshop, there are lots of children. And so twice a month now, on Saturday afternoons, Rahab brings them into the workshop, and they read a Bible story, they color pictures, they learn how to sing songs. And so this is a new ministry, and it's really, these pictures were taken in July, at the end of July, just before we left Tanzania. And as you can see, a lot of the kids have crowns on them. That's because this particular Saturday was a birthday celebration. So everyone that had a birthday over the past month had received a crown, and then we had cake, which is a huge deal in Tanzania. The kids just love it. So then she also teaches them songs, yeah. And so this should be a video of some of the songs.
As you can hear, our workshop is very windy. So,
next slide. Yep. Okay, so now that you've heard them sing, we're going to invite all of you to sing. And we're going to teach you some Tanzanian words. In fact, you're going to learn two languages this morning. So how many of you know the song, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord? Most of you should know that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to divide up into two sides, that side and this side. And everyone can say Allelu, right? Let me hear you. Allelu. We already sang a song about that this morning, yes? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the English is praise ye the Lord. So it's Allelu, 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 Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Yep, got it? Okay. So then in Swahili, praise ye the Lord is tu msifuni. Tu msifuni. Say that with me. Tu msifuni. Again. Tu msifuni. So that's Kiswahili. That's one of the main languages in Tanzania. Officially, Swahili and English are the government languages. And then every area has their own tribal language. The Maasai is one of those tribes. And there's quite a few Maasai around our workshops. So this is Praise Ye the Lord in Maasai. Misisi Ngai. Misisi Ngai. Say it with me.
Misisi Ngai.
Misisi Ngai. All right, so now you've got it, right? You've got it. So now you're going to sing because I am not a singer.
And this is an action song.
Right. You don't just get to sit there. So we're going to start out with Allelu. And we're going to start out on this side. And so I want all of you to stand up. And when you're singing, you stand up. When you're not singing, you sit down. So pay attention. This side, pay attention to Todd. All right? And everybody over here, pay attention to me. But you've got to sing because we're not really singers. So
we're
I need to hear
praise
you.
Praise ye the Lord.
Are we ready? Okay. Allelu, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Allelu, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Alleluia.
Praise ye the Lord.
Alleluia.
Praise ye the Lord.
Alleluia.
Praise ye the Lord.
Not bad. All right, now let's do it in Swahili. Mm-hmm.
We get the easy part again now.
Okay, so they're gonna do the Alleluia. So you can sit down. All right, go ahead.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Tu sifuni.
Allelu, 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 alleluia.
Tu sifuni. Tu sifuni.
Alleluia.
Tu sifuni.
Alleluia.
Tu sifuni.
Alleluia.
Tu sifuni. You're getting better. Okay.
Okay, we're working up a sweat here now. Now we're going to switch to Maasai.
Okay, so we're going to start this time. So it's me, Cece, and Guy over
this
there.
The
and it's
part.
Allelu, allelu for us. Here we go. Allelu, 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 alleluia.
Me, Cece, and Guy.
Allelu, 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 alleluia.
Me, Cece, and Guy.
Me ceasing guy.
Hallelujah.
Me ceasing guy.
Hallelujah.
Me ceasing guy.
Hallelujah.
Me ceasing guy.
All right, give yourselves a hand. You did a great job. I didn't want you to fall asleep, so that's why we do that song. And now you know two more languages. One of the other things that we've done over the last several years, and Rahab is also responsible for this, is what we call our puberty training. And this is really something that is starting to take off. It's really a great way to be able to speak into young people's lives and to explain to them what's going to happen to their bodies as they become adults. One of our missionary friends, the first time we put this in a newsletter, said, "Ann, I think you've made a mistake. You said puberty. I think you meant poverty." And I went, "No, we meant puberty." That's not usually a word that you hear a missionary talking about. But we're really excited about this program. We've done it in one of the villages, in Cocoa Village, which I'm going to show you some other pictures of Cocoa in a minute, with their 5th, 6th, and 7th grade or class students. And it's been really amazing. We have the young people on our staff teaching the classes. And it's really interesting and really rewarding when the students come and say, "Oh, thank you so much. That's been so helpful. No one is telling me anything." And so it's, I won't go into all the details. We don't have time. But this is just a huge ministry. Recently, I think it was 3 weeks ago, we did this at a church for the first time. We had all the young people come for two Saturdays, and we divided them up into boys and girls and taught the same sessions, and it was really amazing how much impact it has on those young people's lives. So we're really, really excited about this ministry. Go ahead. I'd like to tell you about Emmanuel. Emmanuel's been with us almost since the very beginning. He has his own workshop in northern Tanzania, right close next to the Ugandan border, or close to the Ugandan border in Bukoba. This is his family. Again, he wasn't married when we first met him, and you can see now he's married and has many children. We were very blessed to have them come and visit us last year at Christmas time, or just after Christmas, and we hadn't seen his family in a very long time, so it was very exciting for us. And we decided that their youngest daughter there, she really rules that family. Like, everything she wants, she gets, and everything she says, people do. But she was so sweet. And it was really just a huge blessing to have them stay with us. So that's Emmanuel. This is Dismas. We are probably, if you could be proud of someone, we would be most proud of Dismas. He's been with us for a long time as well. And he has his own workshop in Dodoma Town, which is the capital of Tanzania. But until recently, in fact, the last couple years, it really hasn't been like a capital. But the president of Tanzania is now making it the capital. So everyone is moving from the coast, the biggest city of Dar es Salaam, to Dodoma. We've had a workshop there for a while, a couple years, and it was going fine. But then the Bible College, where we were using their space, they said that we needed to move out because they needed the space for something else. So we were in quite the dilemma. But Dismas was able to find a piece of property. This is it, when Todd and I first went and looked at it.
That's the garage underneath that tree.
The Dodoma area is a very dry place, okay? There doesn't rain very much there. And so this was the property, and we didn't really know what to think. But it did have that one tree. And Dismas was really excited about this property, so we did go ahead and purchase it. It's a small plot, a relatively small plot, and he began building. We asked him what he needed, and he said, "Well, I just need the money to build, and then I can make the workshop the way we want it to." So he started building at the end of March. This is what it looks like. This was farmland, so we had to go down pretty far for the donation, or for the foundation of the storage and office building. And as you can see, it progressed really quickly. This shows you how some of the things are constructed. This is how most construction happens in Tanzania. Go ahead. Next one. And this is bringing in some lumber to put the roof on. This is the truck that Sun has in Tanzania. It's pretty small. It can hold maybe four filters at a time, and it's getting very, very tired. And Dismas's team is doing a great job there. Go ahead. This shows some pictures of the construction of the office building and the storage area for our supplies. And then in June, when the construction was starting to reach its finishing, I guess, we were given some money from a congregation that was a huge, huge blessing. And so we were able to put a well in on the workshop, which was just tremendous because we weren't really expecting to be able to do that, at least not very soon. And the well water is good water. You can see there's plenty of it. We kind of partner with a well drilling organization, or partner, I guess, maybe not, but they store their equipment at our workshop in Morogoro when they're not using it. And so they were going to be in Dodoma, and it all just worked out as God's plan. So we're just really, really excited, and Dismas is over the moon. This is the workshop and the office building. And on July 1st of this year, Dismas said we're going to have an opening. And he was ready for the opening, so he got letters and sent them out to the local government leaders and all the neighbors around where the workshop is, which are mostly farmers. And this is July 1st, the day of the opening. As you can see, there's quite a few people there. This shows some of the faces, and you can see Dismas speaking and explaining what he was doing. It was just a tremendous day for him. Next slide. Yeah. There's another one. Did we skip one? I think you skipped one. There you go. All right. So, of course, you can't have an opening without cutting the ribbon. So he tied the ribbon around the building, and they actually did cut the ribbon. The two gentlemen that you see there cutting the ribbon are pastors that Dismas works with in the surrounding villages. And they are so excited and happy for him that this is happening, and it because they know how wonderful it is for their community. You can see that they prayed in the office as part of the opening and around the workshop. And, of course, you can't have an opening or a party without food. So you see there that's what the food looked like. And which was a really great thing, is Dismas expected about 30 people and 60 showed up. So as you can imagine, the food had to be stretched out a little longer, but there was still enough for everyone.
And it's usually the other way around. He expects 60 and only 30 show up usually.
So that was really a huge blessing. And the next slide shows Dismas and his team in Morogoro, maybe. He's just really, really excited. And like I said, we're so proud of him and what he's done. He started with us as a technician. He did have some experience in cement building or building bricks and that kind of thing. But he's just really taken ownership of this. And he told me when the last time that we saw him, he said, "Oh, Mama, I am so excited to be able to do this. This is my own workshop. Thank you so much for this." And so, you know, we're just so, so excited that he's taking ownership of this. This is Lillian, one of his trainers. She was a volunteer. She started out coming to his workshop cooking because, you know, like we said, there's no fast food or anything like that. So if you want your people to eat, you have to cook for them and provide food. And so she was cooking for his two technicians that work with him. And then she started helping to make the filters, and now she's doing a great job of training. So we're really excited to have her on as part of his team. And one of the things that happened recently in our Morogoro workshop was the National Torch, or the Uhuru Mwenge, as you say in Swahili, came to our workshop. Now let me explain a little bit about this. This is a torch. It's an actual torch that travels around the country, and it celebrates their independence, all right, their independence from Britain. And, you know, so it's a really big thing for the Tanzanians. And we were told a year ago that it was going to come and visit our workshop, and Todd and I got really all excited about it and met with all the government leaders whenever they would come and explain everything that we do, and then they didn't come. So this year, when the process started again, we just kind of stayed in the background and said, "Okay, we'll see." And this actually happened while we were here in the U.S. And so our team in Tanzania was over the moon excited about it. As you can see, it actually comes with runners that carry the torch and a lot of government people in authority. And the torch looks like this. You can see it there with the people guarding the torch and how important that is. And what they do is they put it here and they give us a plaque that's permanently at our workshop saying that the National Torch came there and is approving of this project and thinks it's a good thing. And so they read a little bit of a description about what Sun Tanzania does, and how it helps the people. And as you can see, it was a really big party there as well. There was lots of dancing and singing. And it was, for the Sun team, it was really, really a great day. Next slide. I said I would talk about Mkoko Village. Mkoko Village is maybe not a typical village, but there's lots of villages that are similar to Mkoko in Tanzania. This is what it looks like. You can see the river, and that's their main source of drinking water. We have been working there for, it's been 8 years that we've been going to this village. I only know that because on my Facebook page it came up recently about the first time we sat down and met with the governor or the village leaders, and I said, I can't believe it's been 8 years. But then if we look at the changes in the village, it has been 8 years, and we like to think that we've helped in making some of those changes happen. There is still no church in Mkoko Village. However, there is a group of believers that do meet. Some of them come from outside the village. I think there's two members of the village that are actually part of that small congregation, which gives us hope. But it's a really, really difficult place to live. There is lots of witchcraft and animism that takes place. If you ask the people in the village, they will tell you that they're Muslim, but most of them do not practice. We work at the primary school a lot. We do a lot with the children there. Some of the other activities that we've started doing are working with the young people. So if you see this picture, a couple of months ago, Charles and Rock, who I showed you pictures of them, do a lot of help with a lot of the outreach at Mkoko Village and are really taking ownership there. And they said to me, so we have a plan, but we're not going to tell you what it is. We'll wait and see if it's successful. And I'm like, okay. I wasn't too sure about that. So I prayed about it and said, all right, guys, go for it. And so what they were doing was they were encouraging all of the young men in the village from probably ages 15 to 25 or 30 to meet together. And they started a soccer club or a football club, as they call it. Because a lot of these young guys don't have anything to do. They might farm or they might try to make a little money. Most of them have dropped out of school, so they don't really have that avenue available to them. So they're really excited about this, and I am too, because it really allows Charles and Rock and some of the other Sun team to speak into their lives and like come alongside them and talk to them about Jesus. So we're really excited about that. They're supposed to have their first big match between Mkoko A and Mkoko B at the end of this month, so we'll see how that goes. Other areas that we're working, obviously the filters. We have quite a few filters in Mkoko Village, and we follow up on them and make sure that the families are using them properly, or if they have any questions, help them with their problems. And I also have a volunteer. Her name is Nema, and she's doing amazing ministry with the women in Mkoko Village. She meets with them once a month and talks with them and sometimes shares Bible stories with them and talks to them about entrepreneurial opportunities. Like in July, they learned how to make soap. So that's a way that they can make a living or have a little bit of extra income. So we're really, really excited about what NAM is doing there. So this is Mkoko Village.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about Mkoko is when we went there and we came back, and the one comment we got from them was, you're the only one who's ever come back. Because it is a very difficult place to get to, and it's a difficult place to live. Well, we don't live there, but we do return month after month.
It's also been a huge blessing, because I think it was 2 years ago they put in a telephone cell tower in the village. And so that makes communication with them so much easier. So we can call and talk to people there and see how they're doing. Before that, you really couldn't talk to them at all unless you were right there in front of them. One of the things that's happened this past year is in June, we were able to participate in what was called Christian Teen Camp. And this is a camp for kids. Like here, we send our kids to camp. In Tanzania, that's not such a thing that happens. There are some opportunities, but very few. And especially among the poor communities, kids don't go to camp. When they're in school or when they're not in school, they might just sit at home and do nothing or maybe play a few games, but they have no really any opportunity to do something like this. So because of people here in the States, and many of you included, we were able to send 18 children to camp this year. And we actually also participated in one of the camp activities. They were doing one of the sessions was called Life Skills. And so the SUN team was able to go in and teach one of those sessions on that day. And this is what it looks like, playing games with the kids, sharing about why it's so important to wash your hands and what it means to have clean hands, what it means to have a clean spirit. And Joyce and Rahab did a great job. They put on this amazingly funny skit that had the kids all laughing. And so it was really a great day, both for the SUN team and for the students that were there. So we're really excited. Just to give you an idea, for those of you that like numbers and metrics and all that kind of thing, SUN Tanzania has installed more than 8,500 biosand filters in Tanzanian homes over the years. That means that we've taught about Jesus in every one of those families. So that's really amazing to me that this is actually like God is doing this in Tanzania because of a little thing idea that we had a long time ago. We've taught more than 600 seminars and shown the Jesus film more than 220 times. Now, what does this mean? Because those are just numbers. So if you look at, this is Tanzania. There we go. This is Tanzania. And every one of those dots are filters. And this is from 2011 through 2018. And as you look at the dots, if they're dark, then that means there's more filters. And if we had, you know, really cool technology and internet, then we could, like, blow every one of those up and show you how big it is. But what that looks like, this is the Morogoro area. So there's an awful lot of dots there, and there's still some really dark areas. And then in the next slide shows the Bukoba area, which is in northern Tanzania. Emmanuel has only himself, and he has a couple of technicians that he hires on a day-to-day basis. He's doing a great job. And then Dismas and Dodoma with his team is doing an amazing job. So this kind of shows how God has grown this ministry and allowed it to develop. We're just really, really excited about it. Of course, because we are growing and expanding, and Todd and I are trying to work ourselves out of a job, there are a lot of needs still. This kind of gives you an idea of how much things cost in Tanzania and what the needs of the ministry are. Like one biosand filter costs $100. That means it's that's making the filter, teaching the people, delivering the filter to the family, and also following up with them periodically to make sure that everything's going okay. And a filter lasts for a very long time. We say more than 10 years or 10 years, but we know that there's filters that have been around for 20 or 25 years. Not in Tanzania because we haven't been there that long, but in other countries. So that's really amazing that they can provide clean water for that long for a family. We are looking for SUN board members because we are expanding. So anyone that thinks they might be interested in serving in some capacity, we'd be happy to talk to you. Prayer partners, we love people that pray for us. You know, spiritual warfare is real. It's very real, as many of you know. And prayer really helps us with that. Other things, like if we're doing washer puberty education, we estimate it costs about $10 a student for us to put on that ministry. A monthly salary for one of our technicians or for one of our trainers is $300, and that includes like all the taxes that have to be paid, and they're like, we call it NSSF, but here it would be like Social Security that we're required as an organization to pay to the government. A monthly salary of one of our team leaders, like Dismas or Kareem or Charles, would be between $500 and $800. These are gives you an example of how much things cost. And then Emmanuel in Bukoba, you saw all of his children. He likes to send them to school, and the government schools in the area that he lives are very poor. And so there is a Christian school, which is actually the place where we have our workshop. They allow us to use the property there. It costs $750 a year for Emmanuel to send his children to that school. So that's a need that we also have. You saw the new motorcycle. We also would like to have a couple other motorcycles for our other workshops because they're very, very effective and efficient. It makes us easy to move around. We're looking to purchase a delivery truck for Dismas. I keep saying we're so proud of him. In the month of August, Dismas's workshop actually installed more filters than the Morogoro workshop. So he is just so excited about that, and there's a kind of a friendly rivalry going on between the technicians at who can do the best. Not that it's all about the numbers, of course, but he was just so excited and made sure that everybody knew that. But that poor little tired truck of his has a really hard time delivering that many filters every month. we're always getting phone calls. Oh, this is broken. The bat hatch doesn't work. You know, I need a new tires on the front. So there's always big needs there, and he really needs a bigger truck so he can deliver more than 4 filters at a time.
And transportation is one of our biggest costs associated with the filter.
The roads in Tanzania, there are paved roads, but the main roads are paved, but the rest of the roads are mostly not. And so it's very, it does a lot of damage to your trucks and your vehicles when you're bumping around all the time. And yeah. So this shows you a picture of just us, at that we don't just make water filters, that we also have other things that we like to do. We live at the base of the Uluguru Mountains, and so we spend some time hiking up on the mountains, and it's just really a beautiful, beautiful area. You can see Todd there with our dog, or our baby that we call him. His name is Simba. Simba in Swahili means lion. We call him that so people think we have a lion inside our house. But he's very, very friendly. In fact, he's so friendly that he's very big. So he runs after people, and they're very afraid. We try not to let him do that very often. But he's very friendly. He likes to play a lot. Next slide. And if you come to Tanzania, we just want to welcome you to come and visit us. And we want to say thank you, or asanteni sana, very much for helping us to do what we do, for supporting us, for helping us, as Kevin said in the video that you watched, to be a part of the change. We're just so very, very grateful. And we'd like to have people come and visit. And I know that you took some teams to Haiti this past year. So someday maybe you'll be able to come to Tanzania. And this is what the sunsets look like almost every day in Tanzania. So I would really encourage you to come and visit us. We have a display table out in the back. So after the service or in between services, you're welcome to stop by and talk to us. Ask questions. There's some brochures there that give you some more information. If you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, just go onto our webpage and click sign up, and you'll be there. So thank you. Thank you. Asanteni sana.
Hey, I want to thank you again for coming. In John chapter 4, when Jesus had his interaction with the woman at the well, you had a couple of things. One, you had an odd interaction. Jesus, a Jew, with a Samaritan woman was not something that was supposed to take place. Yet an interaction did take place. And he gave the woman water, and she was so focused on the water. But Jesus said this, "Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." One, I am so thankful for the Zeems answering God's call. And I would ask you to pray as a church body, because God may be calling you to a work just like this. Maybe it's a short-term trip to be with them. Maybe it's a full-time career thing that we've just been ignoring God's call for a while. And so I would ask you to pray about what that looks like in your life to be able to work alongside them, or another mission that God has put before us about hungry people or thirsty people or people in prison or whatever the case may be, and how He may be calling on your life to do just that. As we take these practical applications to people's lives, a visit, food, water, whatever it may be, realize that when we take the gospel with it, it's a water that's bubbling up inside of them that gives eternal life. And that's what the Zeems are doing. And I'm so grateful for what you guys do. Let me pray for them, and then the worship team's going to end it with a song for it. All right? Father, thank you so much for Todd and Ann and the work that they do in Tanzania. Thank you, Lord, for the people that you've put in their place. Lord, I can't imagine the obstacle when they're getting ready to go and Todd loses his arm. And that kind of obstacle, how many of us would have turned and ran and said, wow, I must not supposed to do this. But you just continue to lay on their heart that there's a need for people to bring clean, fresh water, but most importantly, the gospel to a land that so desperately needs it. So thank you for them and the work that they do. Father, please provide for them, watch over them, watch over their travels. May you bless them, guard them, protect them and their families as they continue to do a great work. Thank you for the friendship that you've started with us and with the Zeems, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing with us?
Grandeur has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred.